Tracy Kutchker, and this is Artscape. In this show, we cover up-and-coming events in the art sector of Salmon Arm. Today, my guest is Gabrielle Klein. She is an avid performing arts supporter with a special connection to the Kamloops Symphony. Welcome, Gabby.
Thank you, Tracy. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm croaky already this morning.
Me too.
So you do have a special connection to the Kamloops Symphony. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I set up a memorial fund in memory of my parents, and with the Shishwap Community Foundation. And one year they asked if some of the money could go to support the Kamloops Symphony coming to Salmon Arm. And they've been coming for about 4 years. And prior to that, we had no symphony for a while. And a long time ago, we had the Kelowna Symphony or the Okanagan Symphony, but they had to leave because of financial considerations. So we were delighted to have a symphony back in Salmon Arm.
Yes, definitely.
And so I was really thrilled because my parents loved the symphony. And I grew up with that kind of music. I grew up with symphonic music, and especially with the music we're going to hear in the program this coming Friday. So it gives me great pleasure. And I know that my parents would be thrilled to be a part of this in some way. So,
yeah. Well, that's wonderful. So we are going to be talking about the concert that's coming up on Friday. Kamloops Symphony is performing The Magic of Vienna.
Right.
And it's at 7:30 at the Rec Center here in Salmon Arm. And I want to talk about, first of all, before we get into the programming of this really amazing concert and how lovely it will be to start the new year with this kind of music, tell us about some of your favorite Kamloops Symphony moments from the past. What are some of your favorite concerts that you've attended, favorite pieces, favorite concert masters?
Well, we just had a wonderful concert in November, with a young Canadian violinist. He was amazing. We have such talent in this country, and that's one of the things that is very nice about the Kamloops Symphony. They promote Canadian artists. Of course, they have a small budget, so international artists are not on the landscape, but Canadian artists are just great. And they're also going to have, in the next concert in March, they'll have another Canadian artist, the cellist. Everyone should hear that.
Yeah.
It's just, and where do these young artists have a chance to perform? So we have to give them a venue.
Absolutely.
So this is favorite concerts. I can't say one because they're all enjoyable. I just go and I open myself up to the music and enjoy each concert.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the program for this show. So the interesting thing that they're doing now is having a narrator talking about the program notes at each concert. I noticed there's a fellow who's a narrator, and this is in addition to the conductor.
That's right. That seems to be a tradition in some. Otto Lowy on CBC used to do that. He used to talk about the pieces of music and where they came from and the composers and perhaps some anecdotes, maybe even anecdotes where he experienced what he experienced in a concert hall. But so I think this is quite exciting. In fact, this is the third year that they're doing The Magic of Vienna in Salmon Arm. Mm. And I've missed the last two because I've been away. So I'm really excited to be able to attend this one on Friday. I've heard that they're very well attended, so the hall gets filled. They have to pull out extra chairs, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And in fact, over the last couple of years, the audience has grown, and I see younger people in the audience.
Yes.
They started with Sunday afternoon concerts at 2 o'clock, and that was okay, but it was slim. Mm-hmm. And then they switched. They had one concert Friday evening, and I think it was the Vienna one 2 years ago. And the audience just blossomed.
Yeah.
So now they've switched all three concerts to Friday evening, and it seems to work better.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, we're just very lucky that they're coming here to perform for us here. Is there a fairly, I mean, we're talking about 400 to 500 people that can fit into the rec center there.
There usually aren't that many. I'm hoping that there'll be that many on this Friday evening for this concert, because the Magic of Vienna is very popular. It's a tradition in Europe, and I dare say in many cities in North America, to have Viennese music at the beginning of the new year.
Oh.
It's joyful, it's engaging, it's danceable, it's singable, hummable. People leave the concert happy, smiling.
Oh, great.
And some of the pieces are often played, in the Vienna Philharmonic has a New Year's Day concert, which is broadcast on PBS every year, and we just saw it on the 1st of January. And that's very, very popular. It's been going on for many, many years. So I think what's happening in North America for many years, the same kind of concert programming has happened because people enjoy it. And it's a nice way to start the new year. It's a happy way to start the new year.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about some of the things that you would hear when you go to this Friday. So first of all, the concertmaster.
The concertmaster is Svetozar Vutev.
Thank you for pronouncing that.
And he's also going to be the soloist, because the first two pieces require a violin soloist. But Svetozar has, he has a lot of experience. I think the Kamloops Symphony is really lucky to have him. He was born in Bulgaria, and he studied in Sofia, and has more than 20 years of teaching and performing experience in Europe, in all the major cities,
wow,
as well as in Asia. So he's going to be playing with symphony accompaniment, the Kreisler Caprice Viennoise. Now that Fritz Kreisler was a very, very well-known, and even to this day, one of the finest violinists. Mm. And he composed this piece. And he also put in a few pieces that really challenged the violinist. So it's not an easy piece. It's fast. It's exciting. And it's a chance for the violinist to really shine.
Yeah.
So that'll be the first piece.
Oh, that's exciting. And so then there's a few standards that lots of people will recognize. There's some Mozart.
There's some Mozart. The next piece is Mozart, the Rondo in C major, which is also very well known. And that's about 6 minutes. The Kreisler is very short. It's only 3 minutes. So it's like a little gem.
Yeah.
And then the Mozart, Svetozar will be doing the solo part. And, of course, everyone knows about Mozart, so that'll be exciting. And Mozart lived at that time, or just earlier than the 1800s. Then we have Beethoven.
Yes.
Number 6, my all-time favorite symphony.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Why is it your all-time favorite?
I think it's because Beethoven loved nature.
Oh.
And I looked up what he said about the first movement. Now, the symphony consists of 5 movements, but they're only playing the first movement, which is fine.
Is it okay? Are you sure it's fine? Just the first movement?
Well, in this type of program, it's fine. I'd love to hear them all, right?
Yeah.
But in this kind of program with the variety and the joy, it's perfect. So Beethoven entitled it Awakening of Cheerful Feelings Upon Arrival in the Country.
Oh, what a great title.
What a great title. And I think the audience will feel that. If you open yourself up to the music, you'll feel that. It starts very slowly and it builds up. And
so the narrator helps the audience kind of get there too, right?
The narrator is Rod Mitchell, and he taught for 40 years at Thompson Rivers University English and English language and literature, mm-hmm. and his passions are literature and music.
Of course.
So he gets to have the fun of combining his two passions by narrating, and he's going to talk about each piece a little bit and give some historical.
Yeah. And that really, that adds so much to the experience for the listener, because like you said, it puts you in a place where you can open up and you're not coming in cold. You're not being the static audience member then.
That's right. You can let your imagination run with whatever he says.
Yeah.
And he'll put you in a place.
And there's a lot of years of experience and knowledge there. Like, what a gift, really, to have somebody like that share all their knowledge with that many people.
Exactly. I think it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It'll be the first time I hear it, so I'm very, very excited.
So now, that's the only Beethoven that will be in the program.
That's the only Beethoven, but that's fine because it's... I'll just give you a little bit why Beethoven is so important and why nature was so important to him. He walked daily in the country and he got his inspiration for writing music looking at nature. And he observed many characteristics for his compositions: rhythm, beauty, power, life, death, order, structure, chaos, and harmony. And if we listen, we'll hear all that in his music.
Right.
And, of course, this symphony is a little gentle. The first movement is a gentle movement. But I think the audience will hear nature.
Wow. Well, that's very exciting. Okay. The next one that people will hear is Lanner.
Lanner was a waltz composer. And apparently he composed mostly for the nobility, because those were the jobs. The jobs were with the aristocracy. That's where the composers got their work. And this apparently is one of the famous waltzes, Schönbrunner Waltz. And I thought about it. I thought, oh, okay, if he composed for the nobility, Schönbrunn is the royal palace, the emperor's palace. At the time, it was outside of Vienna in the country. It was their summer home, their summer residence. So he composed a waltz called the Schönbrunner Waltz in the name of the palace.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad I have you here, Gabby, to pronounce all these. I would not do them justice.
I'm so lucky I can pronounce them, more or less. So, Lanner was a contemporary, I think, of Strauss. And it was the time of waltzes. It was...
So what kind of year are we talking here?
We're talking in the 1800s, and Lanner, for example, lived from 1801 till 1843.
Oh, he was not long-lived.
No. Some of them were very short-lived, as Mozart, and but others had a longer life.
A lot of these fellows were born geniuses to be able to compose such complex pieces at such young ages.
I think so, especially if we're thinking of Mozart. Mm-hmm. It was a gift.
Yeah.
I consider it a gift to humanity.
It absolutely is. And when you see the work of some composers and you see the complexities and imagine that they are composing for an entire symphony for 20 to 50 instruments, it's quite amazing. It's just something that I couldn't even fathom.
20 to 50 instruments is right. The Kamloops Symphony has about 40 players. But if you look at an orchestra like the Vienna Philharmonic or the Berlin Philharmonic, they have about 100 players.
Wow.
So it's double, more than double the size.
Yeah.
And you can just imagine the sound.
Yeah.
Of a large orchestra.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about your experiences in other parts of the world, because you've been to operas and symphonies everywhere, haven't you?
That's right. I guess it's my passion, or one of my passions. I last year I was in Berlin at the opera to celebrate Wagner's 200th birthday.
Oh, how exciting.
So I attended some operas there, and I actually took my young niece and exposed her to opera and art.
Yeah.
We went to lots of museums and churches and et cetera. And then later in the year, I went to Seattle to see The Ring, Wagner's Ring of the Nibelungen. I felt that a couple of operas in Berlin wasn't enough to celebrate 200 years. But exciting and tying in with this program, the year before I was in Vienna going to some opera, and also Salzburg. And in Vienna, I took a walking tour in the footsteps of the great composers. Mm. So I walked where Beethoven walked, wow, in Heiligenstadt, outside, which at that time was outside in the country in Vienna, because he loved the country so much, as we mentioned previously, that he walked along a little brook. He walked through the woods. And I also ate in a courtyard cafe that was just around the corner of one of the houses that he lived in. So I'm sure he ate there also.
How exciting.
It was exciting and very exciting. I went to the Central Cemetery, to the composer's section where Beethoven's grave is. Mm-hmm. Brahms, Lanner, Strauss, quite a few, Mahler, quite a few composers were buried there. And my guide also took me to St. Mark's Cemetery, where there is a memorial to Mozart. No one knows where Mozart was buried because he was buried in a pauper's grave somewhere. And
really?
Yeah.
What's that story?
Well, he was just very poor at the end of his life. And imagine if he were collecting royalties today every time his music is performed. So there was a memorial in this St. Mark's Cemetery. We do know where in Salzburg his wife Constanze is buried, in a small cemetery attached to a church that I've visited a couple of times, just because it's a lovely walk. And there are also some other famous personalities buried there from science and so on. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I always wanted to see the Central Cemetery. It's a beautiful cemetery, too. It has a large church built in the Art Deco style inside. Mm. It's fantastic. The art inside is just incredible.
Wow. So that's a fantastic combination. When you go and experience the 200th anniversary of Wagner, and you go and experience the music, and you're also surrounded by the fantastic art and architecture of the time.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's quite a, it's a high, let's put it that way. It's my way of getting a high.
Yeah.
In Vienna also, relating to Beethoven, there was a newly renovated frieze by Gustav Klimt in honor of Beethoven, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the Ode to Joy. I was in tears. I walked through there, and it was just amazing.
Wow.
It was so beautiful. It had just been opened in an Art Deco building, and that was truly a highlight.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's move on and talk about Schubert, the next piece that they'll be playing at Kamloops Symphony.
Right. Schubert was a very prolific composer. Again, he was one of those composers who didn't live that long. He lived from 1797 to 1828. He was an Austrian composer.
Wow. These poor guys.
These poor guys, yeah. Well, life was rough in those days. Money did not flow in, so they had quite physically deprived, and maybe, you know, so... But they loved music. They wrote, they were just, as you said earlier, they were geniuses to be able to compose and to have this music in their head. Schubert is most famous for his Lieder. He composed over 600 Lieder and many symphonies, lots of...
Wait, back up. What's that?
Lieder?
Yeah.
Lieder is a song. Lied is song in German.
Oh, okay.
So Lieder are songs. And in German, the Lied is something very sacred, if you will. I don't mean sacred in the sense of religious, but the composers composed music to poems, to the poems of Goethe or other great German poets. And these are sung with piano accompaniment or orchestral accompaniment. In fact, I'm going on an opera tour to Spain, and I'm going to hear German Lieder, a whole cycle by Schubert.
Wow.
Sung by...
You're just hardcore, aren't you?
I'm just hardcore, that's right. I need my drug. And so Schubert also composed the incidental music to a play called Rosamunde. And I just found this out, Rosamunde, Princess of Cyprus. The play has been totally forgotten, but some musicologists rediscovered Schubert's music in 1867.
Oh.
And so the ballet music to Rosamunde is often performed. Like the incidental music to Rosamunde is performed quite a lot, apparently. And I think I've heard it before. I've heard this ballet music. It's lovely. It's dance music. And I think it'll be very, it's one of the most popular pieces. So I think that'll be very enjoyable. I think the audience will really enjoy.
Do you think they're going to have to get up and dance?
Well, maybe not during Rosamunde, but certainly during Strauss.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about Strauss.
Well,
there's three pieces.
There's three pieces, that's right. And Strauss, of course, is called the Waltz King. The one, the Strauss we're talking about, is Johann Strauss the Younger, the son. The Strauss family built a dynasty of musicians, and they started composing the waltz. And the waltz comes from country dances, dances danced by peasants, and it was kind of refined and brought out. It was the big hit at that time in the 1800s in Vienna, and it spread throughout the world. Johann Strauss II, the son, lived from 1825 to 1899.
Oh, so he actually got to be of an age.
He got to be of an age. I think it must have been that dancing and that lilting music. He composed over 400 waltzes, polkas, quadrilles, and other types of dance music, as well as operettas. Hmm. And we're going to talk about that in a second. So the first piece,
Tales of the Vienna Woods.
Tales of the Vienna Woods. Well, nature, again, was an inspiration. And this is one of the, probably, one of the trio of the most famous waltzes. The other being the Blue Danube, and the other...
Oh, that's fantastic, the Blue Danube. I've heard that.
You've heard that,
by
right.
The symphony. It was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So you will see that Tales from the Vienna Woods is unbelievable also. And...
These are truly transformative, you know. Like when you really resonate with a piece and you hear a symphony perform it live, it just does something that's unlike any other experience.
Yeah, it goes to the core of your being, I think.
Yeah.
And changes you somehow. It gives that, and I think a lot of scientific studies have been done about how music changes the brain. Mm-hmm. And especially for young children.
Oh yeah.
Apparently they're better at math mm-hmm. when they play an instrument.
Yeah.
So it changes all kinds of things.
Yeah, and in Canada, we're wondering why our math scores are dropping and dropping and dropping. And it's because of music being slashed from curriculums
schools.
All over the place. Yeah,
exactly, exactly. So if we can get back to that.
Yeah.
So Tales of the Vienna Woods, I think the audience will hear ideas of the woods. They'll hear bits of bird song. And the waltz begins very gently, reflectively, almost hesitatingly, and then it builds up and builds up and builds up, and then it slows down again a little bit. It's
just like walking in the woods.
Just like walking in the woods, discovering things. Mm-hmm. Then at the end, it goes into a crescendo. The final bars dispel the tranquility that just happened before. And the waltz concludes with a brass flourish and a snare drum roll.
Wow.
And then you know it's over.
And so you know, the musicians must be, you know, it must be very exciting for them to play this.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and then...
The next Strauss piece is a Furioso Polka. And
are you sure we can't dance to this?
I think you can, but you'll be moving very quickly. I know I can't do a polka, I get all confused. And they say, in the notes that I looked at, they say that whenever the Furioso Polka is performed, the audience, because it makes them... It just forces people to listen. It's so concentrated and so fast. So I think people are going to be quite excited. They'll be sort of stuck in their chairs wondering what's going on. Yeah.
Okay, and now I'll ask you to pronounce that last one.
Die Fledermaus Overture. Translated means the bat. Now, Die Fledermaus is one of the most famous operettas. And Johann Strauss, it was one of his really highlights. Again, the Fledermaus Overture is performed a lot. The Fledermaus operetta is performed a lot at New Year's because the story takes place at a New Year's Eve ball. So it's a fun, frolicking piece. The opera is about husbands and wives, lovers, secret assignations, a New Year's Eve mass ball, practical jokes, friendly revenge, false identities, and lots of merrymaking and lots of champagne. There is a big area about a big ensemble piece about there where they're singing about champagne.
Oh, wow. Well, that sounds exciting. This looks like a fantastic program that I'm sure people will enjoy spending their new year, their January blahs, getting perked up by this.
Exactly. Perfect. You just said it. January blahs will just disappear.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so in order to get yourself to the concert on Friday night, you need tickets. Tickets for Kamloops Symphony are available online, I believe.
At the door at whereabouts. You can go to whereabouts.
Okay. So whereabouts can will have tickets for Kamloops Symphony. It's Friday night, Salmon Arm Rec Center, 7:30. You can get more information on the Kamloops Symphony's website, which is www.kamloopssymphony.com. Is that correct?
Right, that's correct.
And just as an added piece of information, Kamloops Symphony is an organization that signed on to the SHUGO program. So that means that youth age 12 to 21 can get tickets at the Art Center for $5, the SHUGO ticket, and then they can use them at the Kamloops Symphony. And in turn, the Kamloops Symphony returns them to the Arts Council, who reimburses it. So it's a subsidy program that the Arts Council started about 2 years ago, and it's just really taken off. And I'm very happy that groups like Kamloops Symphony and Ballet Kelowna and out-of-town groups that come to Salmon Arm have signed on to this program and give the opportunity for families to all come and attend this amazing experience.
Great. Yeah. I think the SHUGO program is wonderful.
Yeah.
And we need to encourage young people to come, families.
Yeah, and it's all about building the audience, because it's if you make things like this accessible to everyone, everyone will get to experience it. Price is often a barrier, so hopefully this helps.
Great, great idea.
Thank you very much, Gabby, for joining me today. This has been quite enlightening.
Thank you, Tracy. My pleasure to be here.
I hope that everybody gets a chance to experience the symphony in one way or another. And like Gabby had said before, we did have the opportunity to have Okanagan Symphony travel to Salmon Arm for concerts for quite a long time. But of course, like anything, the arts sector struggles with the ups and downs of the economy, and the costs of supporting this many musicians and travel is really quite intense. And so we're very fortunate that Kamloops Symphony is coming to Salmon Arm. Let's show our support by going and experiencing it. Sometimes it only takes one time and you're hooked.
That's right.
Talk to Gabby about getting hooked on symphonies and opera.
Exactly.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Join us next time for more up-and-coming arts events in and around Salmon Arm.